operate in churches all over the world today. Pastors and other preachers have been giving what some people call the Sermon on the Mount, trying to gin up the collection of it. Look, this poor widow, she gave everything she had. But Jesus was no great fan of the temple and its treasury. Suddenly, at the beginning of his life, he was brought to the temple to be presented. And there he meets the simple people. Anna, a woman already widowed as a young woman, who'd been living in the temple all her life. Simeon, not part of the great system of temple sacrifices and the priestly lineage. And other times, his visits to the temple were moments of struggle, moments of critique. When he comes with his disciples to Jerusalem, they go to the temple and look around. Gosh, look at the size of those stone mills. And Jesus says, well, the time will come when not one stone will be laid upon another. So he was not a great fan of people putting things into the temple treasury. In fact, the widow there seems to be an illustration of the critique he's just made. He says, these scribes, these teachers of the law, they devour the property of widows. And here is a widow here. She's put all she had to live on in the temple treasury. So we take her as some kind of great example for our giving to the temple treasury. Kevin is not here. But she reminds me a bit, she's a bit like a parable. And there's another wonderful parable of an elderly widow as well. The widow that keeps pleading with the unjust judge. She goes to him day and night, she's pestering him at home, he can't sleep, he can't eat. This widow will not let him go because she wants justice from him. And we usually think that in this parable, the unjust judge is God. And God, you know, finally gets sick of all these prayers being set up. So, okay, I'll give them something good just to shut them up. Like the judge gives justice to the widow just to shut her up and give himself some peace. But I think in that story, the character who reveals the truth about God is the widow herself. Who is the one who day and night begs for justice on earth? Who is the one who pleads with us to do justice? Who is the one who pleads with us to live for peace and for truth? It is God. God, in that parable, is like the widow. God is the one who unceasingly begs us, has no power to force us, or will use no power to force us, but begs us insistently to do justice, to love tenderly, to walk humbly, not just with God, but with one another. And this widow, too, is not, I think, in the first place, an example for planned giving. I think she too tells us something about the nature of God. God does not just give us what is left over. God gives us everything God has. God is self-giving. That is the very nature of God to be self-giving. God is not one who protects. God's own possession, and as Shakespeare would put it, shakes the suit of the fox to us who can be. God, like that widow in any other parable, begs us to do justice. It is God who, like the widow in this story, gives everything, holds back nothing, has no power, has no one to protect her, gives everything. If we take seriously what the gospel says to us about God, if we take seriously what the life of Jesus expresses to us about God, then our world would be a fundamentally different place. Too often, our world functions on an image of God which is still the old image of the great king, the one who throws his weight around, the one who wants to be bowed to and scraped to, the one who wants to be weighted on hand and foot, the one who is too concerned with affairs of state to care for you or for you or for you. There are just too many of us. So often, we are still functioning on an understanding of God which the gospel has been insistently trying to undercut. Without a great deal of success, I sometimes think, we are still projecting onto God our notions of power, our notions of greatness, our notions of what it really means to be great. And we see it in our history. And on this day, 100 years ago, at the end of a bitter and bloody war, we could call it almost effectively a European Civil War, which expanded to take in people from all over the globe. It revealed that we as Christians, these Christian nations of Britain, France, Germany, locked in bloody combat, for what? For what sense of greatness, for what kind of power had the gospel not really penetrated the culture that has grown up over these 2,000 years? Or have we used the gospel simply to paper over and to back up our ordinary knowledge, our ordinary sense of what power is about? This is a day, looking back to that wonderful moment of peace, to take stock, to realize how far the gospel has to go until it has fully penetrated our culture and our politics. It has fully penetrated our hearts with the truth about God. That the truth about God is the truth of these two widows. The truth about God is the widow begging, pleading for us to do justice and to have mercy. The truth about God is the other widow who gives everything, who holds back nothing, who offers us God's very life, who doesn't place barriers and conditions, but opens God's self. Until we live by the truth about God that we see on the cross of Christ, where he places himself before us, weak by earthly standards, defeated by our human way of thinking, but revealing the truth about God which splits down the center, that curtain in the temple that divided God's place from our place, that divided the sacred from the profane. This is the God we have, this is the God we proclaim, the God who does not play power games, the God who gives everything, the God who begs us insistently to do justice, to live in peace, to walk humbly with God and with one another. And so as we remember today that our history, our busy history, let us come to this table, which is the table of our forgiveness, the table of our reconciliation, and beg God, open ourselves to God, that He might transform our hearts, and transform our culture, and transform our politics, and transform our world into the place where all are like the widow, who hold nothing back, but offer